Reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 14, Brahma's prayers, text 35 and 36. 30, translation. My mind, Brahma speaking his prayers to Lord Krishna, my mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions, which you bestow upon these residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you? Verse 36. Translation and purport. My dear Lord Krishna, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves, their homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Apparently, the residence of Vrindavan, the abode of Lord Krishna, are simple householders engaged in ordinary affairs such as herding cows, cooking, rearing children, and performing religious ceremonies. However, all these activities are intensely engaged in the service, loving service of Lord Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan perform all activities in pure Krishna consciousness, and thus exist on the most exalted platform of liberated life. Otherwise, the same activities performed without Krishna consciousness constitute ordinary bondage to the material world. Thus, one should not misunderstand the exalted position of the residents of Vrindavan, nor should one consider oneself highly religious simply because one performs ordinary domestic affairs very enthusiastically, but without Krishna consciousness. By focusing our passionate attachment on our family and society, we are completely deviated from the progressive path of Krishna consciousness. Conversely, if we engage our family in the loving service of the Lord, our endeavors to maintain our family become part and parcel of our progressive spiritual duties. In conclusion, by studying the extraordinary status of the residents of Vrindavan, we can see that the essential quality of their lives is pure Krishna consciousness, the rendering of loving service to the Lord without a trace of material desire or mental speculation. Such loving service to the original personality of Godhead immediately creates the atmosphere of Sri Vrindavan Dham, the kingdom of God. These two verses, Lord Brahma is showing the ideal example of the ideal devotees, ideal family, or grihastha devotees, the Brijvasis in Vrindavan, primarily grihasthas. That's in verse 35. And in 36, he contrasts that. He shows the opposite of the Brijvasis, or the ideal grihastha devotees, by showing the example of the materialist. He shows what to do and how to be in verse 35. And in verse 36, he shows or explains what not to do and what not to be. Goal of life in Krishna consciousness is to become a resident of Vrindavan. There is no other goal. To become a resident of Vrindavan, one must attain prema bhakti. Sarana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. This is the goal. The goal is to become a Brijvasi. If you think of this word, Brijavasi, you can think of it in different ways. In one way, you can say there's three types of Brijavasis. There's three kinds of Brijavasis or Brijavasis. One Brijavasi is someone who is born outside of Vrindavan. He's born in Delhi. He's born in Punjab. He's born in Bengal. He's born in New York, Gujarat. And he's born there, but he goes to Vrindavan, to the Brajabhumi, the Dwadasavan, and he lives there. Braja Vas. Braja means to go, to move. Is that right, Panditji? So Braja means to go or to move, and so many other things. So one who goes to or moves to Vrindavan and lives there, he is, you can call him, honestly call him, a Brajabhasi. Now the second type of Brajavasi is that very, very fortunate jiva, Krita Punya Punja. Krita Punya Punja. This is, I believe, one line from a prayer also offered by Lord Brahma, is it right? And he's glorifying these cowherd boys, apparently very simple boys, laughing and playing and wrestling and fighting like any ordinary boys. But they happen to be playing and wrestling and fighting and eating with the Supreme Personality of God, Sarva Karana Karanam, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha, Anadi Radhir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. They are playing with God, eating with God, wrestling with God, fighting with God. They are His sakas, His friends. They are not ordinary boys. They're extremely extraordinary. And they attained, at least some of them are Nityaparikars, Nityaparishads, but some of them have entered that Leela, that Boma Leela of Krishna. Some jivas have attained their Vastu Siddhi and entered the Boma Leela of Krishna due to Krita Punya Punja. Heaps and heaps of pious activities, Sukriti, Dibya Sukriti. Transcendental Sukriti, Saru Sangha, Saru Seva, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam. Heaps and heaps of activities. They have become Brijvasis. So, this is a second category of Brijvasis, those that are born in Braj. Those living entities that are so fortunate, they can take birth in the pastimes of Krishna in Boma Vrindavan during Krishna's Leela. They are tremendously fortunate. And then there's the category of jivas that take birth in Vrindavan when Krishna is not manifesting His Prakat Leela. They're also very, very special. Very, very special. In fifth canto of Bhagavatam, it explains that the demigods are praying with folded hands. Maybe not in the beginning of their lives, because they're enjoying. But towards the end of their lives, the demigods are praying with folded hands, please, very soon, our pious activities will run out. Our good deeds will be finished. And we will have to fall down from the heavenly planets. We will have to leave this place. Where will we go? Please, we beg you, O Lord, allow us to take birth in Bharat Bhumi, in the land of Bharat. Punya Bhumi, Dharma Bhumi. This is India. Their devatas are praying to take birth here. And many of them do. They take birth in Brahmin families, in very religious families, pious families, devotee families, Vishnu Bhakt families of Vishnu Bhaktas, Krishna Bhaktas, Ram Bhaktas, etc. And of those very, very fortunate jivas that take birth in Bharatbhumi, one in millions takes birth in Vrindavan. Boma Vrindavan, right now, 2001, 1980, 1990, very, very, very rare. Sudurlavam Janam. Very, very rare birth. So that's a second type of Brijvasi. But even though they may be born in Vrindavan in the year 1940 or 1950 or 1960 or 1970, they may not be Krishna conscious. They may be absorbed in Vishaya Sangraha, in all varieties of sense gratification, even sinful activities, drinking, gambling, smoking, womanizing, eating eggs, onions, meat sometimes, going on. You see, it does not take much to see. Open your eyes, wander in Vrindavan and you'll see. So much egg eating, so much drinking wine. There's 5 liquor stores at the end of Chatikara Road. Chatikara Road is the road that you turn off of. You leave the road from hell to hell. There's one road that goes from hell to hell. You turn off the road from hell to hell. Hell is Delhi and hell is Agra. So the road goes, it's called a hell to hell road, right? You maybe call it Delhi Agra Road. We call it hell to hell road. Yeah, the actual name is Mathura Road. This is good. For us, it's the golden pathway back to Godhead. It's correct. It's the Mathura Road officially. But most people say, oh, Delhi Agra Road, because they don't know maybe. But they know they're going from Delhi to Agra on the Delhi Agra Road. That's right, Mathura. This is the only meaning of that road. The road has no other meaning. It should take one out of hell, Delhi, helly smelly Delhi, and should take you to Mathura. But unfortunately, most people go to Agra. Very few people go to Vrindavan. You take the Taj Express from Nizamuddin, Delhi, New Delhi, to Agra. Hundreds and hundreds of people packed on the train. So many Western tourists, and the train stops in Mathura. And only one Western person gets out of the train. Only one. And he has tilak and a danda and a little green bag and a little black suitcase. Only one. Everyone else goes to Agra. Unfortunate. So even though this second category of Brijvasis may be born there, they may not be actually what we know, what the real meaning of a Brijvasi is. So some people say, oh, I'm Brijvasi. I have taken my birth in Vrindavan. But sometimes we can reply to these people, say, actually, there's a third type of Brijvasi. One type of Brijvasi, the majority of Brijvasis, are those living entities who their body takes birth or appears in Vrindavan. But the third category of Brijvasi is that living entity in whom Vrindavan takes birth in their body. One type of living entity, their body takes birth in Vrindavan. Another living entity, Vrindavan takes birth in their body. This is the real Brijvasi. You can be born in Gujarat or Delhi or wherever. But if Vrindavan takes birth in your body, then as Prabhupada mentions, the disciples mention in purport of 36, then you are living in Vrindavan Dham anywhere. It says that in the last line. In 36, it explains, loving service to the personality of Godhead creates the atmosphere of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So this is the real Brijvasi, one who in his heart and mind, he is always thinking of Radha and Krishna. And he is always acting, thinking and acting and speaking in such a way to give them pleasure. This is the Brijvasi. And that is why Brahma is explaining in this 35th verse, he gives a very nice explanation about the Brijvasis. In the last line of the shloka, he says, Yadam artha surit priyatam, or priyatma, Tanaya pranayashayas tvatkrite. The translation is that the Brijvasis, their dham, their artha, their surit, their priya, their atma, their tanaya, their prana, their ashaya, is that everything is dedicated to Krishna. He uses the word dham, and dham is translated to mean homes. They've translated dham as home. But dham also means not only are the individual houses and palaces of the Brijvasis dedicated, the word dedicated means consecrated to, offered to, the lotus feet of Krishna. They're completely dedicated. Not only their homes, but their very land, the fields which they plow because they're Vaishyas. They're Rishi Goraksha. They're Vanyam. They're Vaishyas. So they're plowing the fields. So Dham means the whole abode, their fields, their homes, everything they have in terms of property, fixed property, their gardens, their orchards, their fruit orchards, their flower gardens, their vegetable gardens, their fields, their animals, their homes, everything is dedicated to Krishna and for His pleasure and service. Then artha, dham artha. Artha means wealth. All of their wealth. Their wealth is grains, their wealth is ghee and butter, and their wealth is also all their jewelry. One time, to show an example of how all of their artha is dedicated to Krishna's service, once Krishna, it was Gopastami in Kartik month, and Krishna was wandering near the Govardhan hill, and he came to know that the gopis were at Radhakund, and they had gone to Malyahari Kund, and they went to Malyahari Kund to collect fresh drinking water to offer to Radharani. It was very, and also for Krishna, when they have their Madhyan Leela there. Very, very sweet, sparkling water in Malyahari Kund. Very, very sweet water. So they all assembled there, and they had water pots on their head, beautiful golden water pots inlaid with so many jewels. Some gopis were carrying 2 water pots, some were carrying 3. Rangadevi, one of the Astasakis, she's very expert at carrying water, so she had 3 golden pots on her head with water. And they were carrying water, and of course the gopis and sakis, when they go out in public to meet with Krishna or go out in public, they're very beautifully decorated with so many, the beautiful pearl ring, or you can say a beautiful pearl underneath their nose pearl, and so many pearl necklaces. So Krishna was informed that all the gopis were at Malyahari Kund, and they were beautifully decorated, so many moti mala and other marakata mala, emeralds, hira mala, diamonds, so beautiful. So it was Gopastami, and Krishna was there at Gwalpakur. Gwalpakur is one sarovra, or kund, which is near, right next to Govardhan. And he was thinking, I will go to Malyahari Kund. I will meet the gopis. I will take Subal with me, and Sridham, and Madamango. And we will meet the gopis, and we will beg some charity from them. Because this is Astami. This is Gopastami. So I want to worship my mother. I want to worship all of our mother cows. And I want to offer them puja and arti and some boga, some gore and some grains. But I also want to decorate them very nicely. Because the mother should be decorated with nice blankets and nice bell and nice necklaces. But I don't have any necklaces. I have my gunjamala and a few things. But let's go to the gopis and beg them. If they will donate some pearl necklaces to us, then we can decorate our cows with these pearl necklaces. So Krishna and a handful of his Priyanarmasakas, they went to Malyahari Kund. And they said, oh Lalita, oh Vishaka, you please give us some pearl necklaces to decorate our cows. And they said, what, are you crazy? Are you crazy? No way. We're not going to donate these valuable, these are, some of these are hati moti, these are These are pearl necklaces made from the pearl that's produced inside the cranium of an elephant during certain nakshatra. It's called a hatimoti, elephant pearl. Very, very rare. Very, very beautiful and very, very costly. Yeah, Gajamukta. Thank you. Gajamukta. So, and the Lita and all the Sakis bound together, they said, we're not going to give you one pearl necklace. In fact, we will not even give you one single pearl. Are? Huh? So Krishna was a little bit unhappy. So he left that place. And he went back home to Nandagaon in the afternoon. When he took the cows home, he went back to Nandagaon and he met his mother Yashoda. He said, Ma, hey Janani, can you please give me some pearls? Because I want to make a garden. I want to make a garden, plant a bagicha, a garden. Put these pearls in the ground, because I've seen Nanda Baba. Nanda Baba goes out and sends all his men out and they plant the fields. They put in the mustard seeds, they put the little seeds of mustard in, then they put the wheat, the gehu, you know, bija in the soil. And then in a few weeks, then the sprouts come, and then a couple months you have wheat and mustard and all these things are produced only by putting a little tiny goli, put a little goli in the soil and you've got this beautiful fruits and plants and leaves and vegetables. So please, I want to take some pearls. You please give me some pearls and I make a garden, a pearl garden. Because I want to produce thousands and millions of pearls so I can make thousands of necklaces. And then I will decorate, not only will I put the necklaces on the cows of all my 9 lakhs of cows, I will put pearl necklaces on every single monkey in Vrindavan. And then when those Sakis, when they come out of their houses in Yavat and Barsana, and when they look out the window to see the rising sun and say, Pranam Suryadev, Om Namo Suryaya Namaha, when they offer their pranams, they will be amazed. They will be astonished because their eye will catch the sight of a monkey sitting in a kadamba tree with a pearl necklace around his neck. Knows, what? What is this? Monkey? The monkeys have the pearl necklaces? And then they will become so disturbed and agitated that, and then they'll remember, oh yes, this must be the work of that Shamsundar. He is the greatest of all yogis. We don't know any greater yogi than Yogeshwara. He is the greatest yogi that we know. This must be his work. That little boy in Nandagaon, he must have done this. So Yashoda hears that. She says, hey Lala, hey Kanu, please, I can give you so many pearls. I'll give you all my pearls. You have to understand that you can't make a garden, you can't produce pearls by putting them in the ground. Pearls come from the oyster in the ocean, or sometimes they come from the sewer. There's a pearl that grows inside the boar's mouth, and there's a pearl from the sarp, from the snake, and there's a pearl from the elephant. Very exotic, costly pearls. So you can't grow them. They're very special. They're gifts of God. This come from God. Providence gives us these pearls. And you can't put them. You can put seeds in the ground and plant wheat and vegetables and fruits, but pearls, you can't get like that. Moti, moti chaye, moti chaye. I want moti. I want pearls. All right. So then Mother Yashoda, she gave him every single pearl she had. This is called Dhamartha. It says here that the Brijvasis, they gave all their wealth to Krishna. Artha. All their wealth, whatever they had, they would give to Krishna. This shows that Mother Yashoda, there's nothing more valuable to a lady than her stash of jewels. Her collection of jewels. And in English we have a phrase, diamonds are a girl's best friend. I don't know if they have an equivalent in Hindi. But women and diamonds go well together. Because diamond is the ratna for Shukra. Shukra Graha. Venus. We say in English Venus. I think you say Shukra? Venus? Friday? On Friday? So that planet, that planet's gem, ratna, is diamond. Hira. And Venus, of course, is the god of love and emotions and art and all these things. So women are very good at singing and arts and these type of things, so they like these diamonds very much. So Mother Yashoda, she didn't think, oh, these are my precious jewels. Like the Sakis, they said, no, no, we won't give you one. But Mother Yashoda, having this affection, this, because the mother, she wants to give everything for the child. So she gave everything. All of her wealth of jewels she gave, all of her wealth of pearls. Dham arta suri priyatma tanaya pranayashayas. So Brahma's understanding in the glorifying, he said, this is a Brijvasi. What is a Brijvasi? A Brijvasi is one whose dham, his house and everything in his house, his car, and all of his fixed property is dedicated in the service of Krishna. And a Brijvasi is one whose arta, his wealth, all of his money and jewels and opulence is used in the service and for the pleasure of Krishna. Then, Surit. Surit. Surit means friends. It's translated as friends. It also means very good friends. Very near and dear friends, bosom friends. So, the Brijvasis, all their friends were also engaged in the service of Krishna. The Brijvasis don't have any non-devotee friends. They don't go to work in the fields with non-devotee friends and then meet with their devotee friends at night. They work with devotees, they live with devotees, they engage in business with devotees in the marketplace. So this is the Brijvasi. He accepts the association of devotees and he rejects the association of non-devotees. Then it says, Priya. Priya Atma. Priya is translated as their dear relatives. So all of the relatives of the Brijvasis, their cousins, their brothers, their fathers, they're all engaged in Krishna's service. And their Atma. Their Atma means their very themselves, their bodies. Their bodies are always engaged in Krishna's service. And Taniya. Taniya means their children. Their Prana and Ashaya. So Brahma, he's giving a very good definition of what is a Brijvasi. This is a Brijvasi. That their prana, their very life force is engaged in the service of Prananath. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. Right? In the Shikshastakam. It's the last line of Shikshastakam. Mat Prananathas tu sevana paraha. My Prananath, the Lord of my prana, the Lord of my very breath. This means, the prana means that the incoming Rechaka and Puraka and Kumbhaka is holding. Kumbhaka means retention. So the Rechaka and Puraka, the incoming breath and the outcoming breath and all of the life errors, the 10 life errors of the Brijvasis were all engaged in Krishna's service. In the Mayavadis, in Raj Yoga, they do pranayama. And they often meditate on the mantra so hum. When they inhale, they meditate so. And when they exhale, hum. So hum. What does so hum mean? I am that. So hum. In other words, I am it. I am that. I am God. So when they inhale, when they're doing their pranayam, they inhale so. It even sounds like so. And we say to them, so what? What will you become? What will you become by this pranayama? What will you become by this impersonal meditation? You'll become something. Raruya krichena param padam padam patantiyado nadrita yushma dangriya. You will fall again, back down to this world. Because you don't have attachment to the angri, the lotus feet of Krishna. Samashrita ye parapalava pavam. Mahatpunya, Mahatpatam Punya Sho Murari, Murari. You're not attached to Murari. So when a devotee, the Brijvasis, when they were inhaling, they were meditating, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Just like a devotee when he's chanting japa, his rechaka and his puraka are the holy name. As one becomes more adept at Krishna consciousness, he's chanting on the inhalation, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. When he's inhaling, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. When he's exhaling. So usually people, they inhale and they're not chanting. They inhale and then they exhale and they chant two mantras or three. But as one becomes adept, as he becomes more expert in chanting, when he's inhaling, exhaling, it's a continual chanting of the mantra. He's chanting the mantra in the inhalation and the exhalation. And so in that way, one's speed of japa becomes very fast. There's no loss in the inhalation. So this is the prana. Because when Brahma was observing the Brijvasis, he was seeing that when they're resting, they're chanting Hare Krishna. And when they're awake, they're chanting Hare Krishna. And when they're breathing, they're breathing in. Hari 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 Hari. He observed this. Brahma observed this. When he came to Vrindavan, he saw. His eyes were open and he could see. Look at the nature. So therefore he says, Yadamarta Sarit Priyatama Priyatma Taniya Pranayashayas Twitkate. And their minds are dedicated. This is Vaikuntha Dham. This Maya Jagat, this material world, is a plane of exploitation. Three bells. Confirmed. Three times confirmed. I said, this material world is a plane of exploitation where one person wants to extract some profit from someone else. Let me extract some profit from my wife, or extract some profit from my husband, or from this world, or from my associates, or from anything and anyone. Let me take, let me take, let me take. I am a taker. Exploitation means this. How can I take from you? How can I take from the government? How can I take from nature? How can I take from my opponents? How can I take from the people? It's a taking consciousness. It is not a giving consciousness. So the Vaikuntha Dham, Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, Golok Dham, this is the plane or the platform of dedication, which Lord Brahma aptly understood, and he explains in this verse 35. That they have dedicated, the Brijvasis, they have dedicated everything. Hearth and home, and health, and mind and body and wealth. Everything in the service of the Lord. So this, if we want to enter the plane of Vaikuntha, if we want to become Vaikunthavasis, or if we want to live in Sri Vrindavan Dham, then we have to learn. We have to learn the art of dedication. And we can best learn the art of dedication by seeing examples, exemplars of the dedication principle. And the perfect exemplars of the dedication principle are the Brijvasis, the Nityaparishads. And the Brijvasis, they're described here in the verses of Bhagavatam. How do they think? How does a Brijvasi think? How does he act? Because our goal, as I mentioned in the onset, our goal is to become a Brijvasi. I don't mean that you take birth in Barsana and you're a farmer and you have a tractor and a satellite dish. And I don't mean that kind of Brijvasi. I mean that your mind, that what I mean is that third kind of Brijvasi, where Vrindavan consciousness takes birth inside of you. So wherever you go and wherever you are in Vrindavan. You are a walking example of dedication. Your breath, your incoming and outcoming breath is dedicated to the service of Krishna. Your wealth, money, paisa, rupees, crores, is dedicated to the service of Krishna. Your home, you see when you go into a devotee's home, what is on every wall? Pictures of Krishna, Radha and Krishna. and deity, photos, and there's murtis, and there's an altar. Every wall is dedicated to the service of Krishna. And you turn on the stereo, and it's all tapes about songs and bhajans, Krishna bhajan, Vraj bhajan. And you look at, and they see all the video movies. They have so many video movies. It's all children's movies and Ramayana and all these different spiritual movies. This is the home of a devotee. So this, the more we hear about the Vrijvasis, the more we can understand, where am I and where are they? How close am I to being a Vrijvasi? How much am I dedicated in mind, words, and wealth and dham and everything to the pleasure and happiness of Krishna? Because they are teaching, their example is the absolute plane of dedication. That is absolute and perfect. So wherever we find that kind of dedication, there we find the embodiment of a Vrijvasi. He may be born in New Delhi. He may be born in New Delhi, but if we see in that jiva, if we see complete dedication to the pleasure of Krishna, and complete dedication for the happiness of Krishna, that person in fact is a walking Vrijvasi. And wherever he goes, he makes that place a holy dham. It's explained in sixth canto of Bhagavatam. There's a verse that describes that wherever the pure devotees go, they turn that place into a holy place. Can't remember it now. Tirtha Tirthani Bhutani, like that. Apavarga, is it Apavarga? They stop the cycle of birth and death. They liberate anyone that comes in contact with their teachings. And they create the holy dham, because the holy dham is a place where you get liberated. Just as in India, there are seven mukti stalis. Varanasi, Haridwar, Mathura, Ayodhya. Other different cities are mentioned. Prayag. These are mukti stalis. If you go there, you get liberated because they're a tirtha, a holy place. But the pure devotee, the Radha Krishna Bhakta, he is a holy dham. He is not only a tirtha, completely purified, he will liberate you from birth and death. But he will also introduce you and allow you to enter the Leela Dham of the Lord. Liberation is insignificant compared to entering the eternal Leela of the Lord, the eternal Braj Leela. So the Radha Krishna Bhakta, the Krishna Bhakta, he is not only a Tirtha who can liberate you and free you from the Apavarga, the cycle of repeated birth and death, but he can engage you in the eternal pastimes of the Lord. Leela Purushottam. The Leela Dham of the Lord is Vrindavan, Madhurya Leela. So wherever we find that, then we fall at the feet of such a person and we offer our body, our mind, and our words for his service so that he can turn us into a Vrijvasi. He can make Vrindavan take birth in our mind and hearts. And then we can become a genuine Vrijvasi. And we see the example today is the Tirubhav Titi Mahotsav of Rasikananda and Rasika Murari, sometimes he's called. Rasikananda Jagannathas Babaji Maharaj. Great devotees of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. And they were real Vrijvasis. Real Vrijvasis. You see, there's so many pastimes described. There's one pastime where Rasikananda, he came to Vrindavan and he was Rasikananda's guru, Shamananda. Shamananda came to Vrindavan, and then when he left Vrindavan, he took some devotees with him and they went to Agra. They were near Agra. There were five devotees. And there was one Muslim Qazi, or and say magistrate, he was in charge of that area of Agra. And he was very envious of the Vaishnavas. And somehow he came to know that these devotees from Vrindavan, these Vrijvasis, had entered his area there, his domain of Agra. So immediately arrested them, put them in jail. And he had some nefarious plan to finish them off. So that night, the mogul took rest. While he was dreaming, while he was resting, all of a sudden, some unknown personality, unknown force, picked up his bed, his royal bed, golden bed with pearl canopy, canopies, dangling pearls around the silk canopy, picked up his bed and just smashed it on the floor of his palace. And he bounced off the bed and he broke his ribs. He started vomiting blood, almost lost his life. And then he heard this voice. He said, "Those five persons you put in jail, they're Brijvasis. They're from Vrindavan. They're great devotees of the Lord. You should release them immediately, otherwise I will kill you." So he released them. He told his guards, he said, "These are Brijvasis. I've made a mistake. I have arrested some Brijvasis. Please release them." So Shamananda and his associates were released from jail. And then Shamananda went, after that visit to Vrindavan, he went to the village of Rasikananda, which I can't remember right now, West Bengal or Orissa, I forget. It's Orissa, I think. It was in Orissa, because he was Aryan. And he went there, and in a dream, Rasikananda had a dream, because Rasikananda was a little disturbed. He was looking, he wanted to find Guru, Rasikananda. And he couldn't find Guru, proper Sadguru. So he was in anxiety and he was disturbed. So then he had a dream. And in his dream, he was told that, "Don't worry, tomorrow your Guru will come and save you. You will, your Guru will come, his name is Shamananda. He will appear in your appear in your village tomorrow." So sure enough, as the prophecy foretold in his dream, Rasikananda had a dream. Next day, Shamananda arrived in his village. And there was big kirtan, and then he eventually initiated Rasikananda. And Rasikananda became a great devotee, one of the greatest and leading preachers of Shamananda Prabhu. And there's so many stories. He was very beautiful. Rasikananda had a body. His body had all auspicious symptoms. Beautiful lotus eyes. He had bluish. His skin was bluish. He looked like Lord Krishna. You see, there's some picture of him on the book. I think there's some book, The Glories of Rasikananda, in English. He was very, very attractive. And he wore a yellow dhoti. He dressed exactly like Krishna. Vaijyanti mala, prasad from the deities. And he worshipped the deity of Govindaji, that was the deity of Shamananda. One of the deities of Shamananda. He was doing very wonderful pujari work. And it's said that Rasikananda, his life and soul was Vaishnav Seva and Kirtan. He was a very good Kirtan man. He loved to do Kirtan and serve the Vaishnavas. Of course, he was very expert in puja and preaching. In fact, it was told, Narahari Chakravarti and Bhakti Ratnakar, he glorifies Rasikananda by saying that he was the greatest of the Senapati Bhaktas. He was a Maha Senapati Bhakta. He was one of the great commanders in the army of Shamananda. Shamananda had many preachers, and he was one of the greatest commanders, preaching commanders. He was preaching all over Orissa, specifically Utkala, which was even more than modern day Orissa, is a larger area, Utkala province. And he was preaching all over that Utkala, and he would preach to everybody. He would convert Muslims, he would dacoits and ministers and kings and so many people. One time there was one envious person who sent a mad elephant to kill him. Big tusks came charging at Rasik Mangal, sometimes he called Rasik Mangal. Because even people saw him, as soon as people, his darshan was Mangal. His teachings, his shiksha was Mangal, was auspicious. If people simply saw him, they became Krishna conscious. Because they became captivated and completely enchanted by his beautiful form, Saundarya Rupam. So he would walk into a village and people would faint practically. They thought that Krishna was... Some people would think that Krishna had entered their village. He was so beautiful, so handsome and attractive. So he was Rasik Mangal. Sometimes he's called Rasika Murari because he looked like Murari Krishna. He looked just like Krishna. So he was very auspicious. Everything about him was auspicious, even his darshan. So when this raging elephant was attacking Rasikananda, he simply stood there. The elephant came and he just slapped him on the head when he came. He said, "Chant Hare Krishna, Hari Bol." And the elephant stopped dead in his feet, just skidded to a stop. You know, skidded in like a car stopping on the highway, just in the dirt. He's sliding in his stopped position. And then the elephant reared back on his back legs and, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol," started chanting the holy name. This is a miracle. Amazing thing. And so many other miracles